Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Triangulation, episode 122, recorded Wednesday, October 2nd, 2013.
Bob Bergen.
Triangulation is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. Try it free for 7 days. Visit Lynda.com/triangulation. That's LYNDA.com/triangulation. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TRIANGULATION1013.
It's time for Triangulation. I'm not here right now. I'm on a boat somewhere in the middle of the Mediterranean. Or Adriatic, or some ocean. But we recorded this earlier, and we've been saving it because you are in really very lucky here. Bob Bergen popped by the radio show a few months ago and was just sitting there and said, "I'm Porky Pig." And I said, "Well, you don't look..." The voice of Porky Pig, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of many, many characters... voiceover artist Bob Bergen is our guest, and it's so great to have you back. Thank you.
And my pleasure.
So, you're up here doing classes?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
At Voice Tracks. Well, I've been teaching cartoon voiceover, animation voiceover, for about, 27 years or so, and teaching up here, I guess, for the last at least six or seven, come up about maybe three, four times a year. And there's a huge, there's a voiceover population up here, huge, very
voice,
successful.
Voice, T-R-A-X.
Exactly.
It's Samantha Parris's
thing
in Sausalito. Yeah. It's great. They do a lot of voice work. And you're not just a cartoon voice. You do voice work for commercials and other stuff, too.
Commercials, promos, radio imaging, toys, lots of games.
So I think there are a lot of people watching saying, "I'd like to do that," or are interested, or just want to make fun, have funny voices. Mm-hmm. So how did you get started in doing this?
Well, I was weird because I wanted to be Porky Pig when I was a five-year-old kid, which you know, you don't tell your Jewish mother you want to be Porky Pig.
That's trafe. You're not going to be.
especially living in the Midwest, because there aren't many opportunities.
And, to be Porky Pig.
And when you're 5 years old, you want to be a fireman. You want to be Superman. You want to be Porky Pig. That's great.
But did you know, I mean, at five, do you know that Porky Pig's a cartoon?
Yes.
You did know that?
Yeah.
And in fact, you knew enough to know that a human did the voice.
And I had a little tape recorder by the TV at all times, and I would record cartoons. I would memorize cartoons. And I told my parents at a very young age, there's one guy doing... I couldn't read the credits at the time. I said, there's one guy doing all these voices. I can hear a common denominator.
Oh, that's really interesting. And you have an ear. In other words, I think you could say voice artists are born, not made. Are they?
I think all artists are born, whether it's voiceover acting or painting or poetry.
There's something in
there. Yeah, you're born with that talent. You know, you'll take classes.
You can develop it. You have to develop it.
You've got to hone your skills, and you've got to be able to reproduce them at will. That's what technique teaches you. But you're born with
yeah, because some mornings I can get up and do Porky Pig. Some mornings I can't.
And it's those days you can't that I relish.
Because you need to, and on the spot.
Absolutely.
So you're 5 years old, mm-hmm. and you have this. But, I mean, I'm sure that your mom, every five-year-old has a dream.
I was when I was in school and a teacher would ask me a question, I would answer the teacher like Porky Pig.
Oh, no, that's trouble.
And I would get in trouble. Yeah, big time.
Big time.
And, this was an obsession. It really was an obsession. So my dad, when I was 14, sat the kids down and said, "I'm sorry, kids, but we're moving to L.A." And I'm like, "You go, Dad. You go, Dad."
"Sorry, kids."
Yeah.
But Bob's dream is about to come true.
Yeah. So I figured the best way to be Porky Pig would be to call the source, call Mel Blanc. And
oh, sure. Why not?
Well, I didn't know that this was something unusual or ambitious. I just figure I'll look in the phone book and I'll find him, and he wasn't in the phone book where we lived. And my dad said, we'd come from Cincinnati.
Right.
And my dad said, "LA's a bigger town than Cincinnati. We had one phone book."
There's many phone books.
So he traveled the city and he got every white page phone from Pasadena to Malibu to Burbank.
So this sounds like by this time your parents are actually being very supportive.
You know, they were supportive, but I also think they didn't want to disappoint me, let that happen organically. But
they knew that there wasn't a chance in hell
that you'd be a doctor. That you,
either you'd be a doctor or Porky Pig. But they didn't want to say, oh, Bobby, you can't do that.
So you were there. You sounded just like them. So I had this stack of white page phone books.
I can't believe you did. How old were you?
I was 14.
I can't believe your dad did that.
And so one day when my mom was out, I was in the kitchen. This is very high-tech, people. I had my Panasonic tape recorder with the telephone receiver on the mic. And I'm in my parents' bedroom on the other end, and I would dial the first blank in the book. Hi, is this Mel Blanc, the cartoon guy? No, it's not. Sorry. Hang up. Run to the kitchen. Hang up. Pick it back up. Put it on. Push record. Come back. And I did that for hours.
You were obsessed.
Got more exercise than I ever had as an adult. And I couldn't find him. Look under Mel or M. Blanc. Couldn't find him. Yeah. Then I thought, I'm going to look under his wife's name. He's mentioned his wife's name on a show when I was a kid called Wonderama. Her name was Estelle. Found E. Blanc in the Pacific Palisades and got him on the phone.
Well, the recording exists. In fact, it's on Bob's site, bobbergen.com.
That's illegal, people. Don't. You're not. Yeah.
You have to ask permission, blah,
you're
blah, blah. But this was years ago. And anyway, so, and Mel's long gone.
Yeah.
But he was, and I know that anybody who's a fan of any of these Looney Tunes or anything knows the name Mel Blanc. It always says at the end, voices by Mel Blanc.
He tried to get a raise years ago when he was doing these cartoons, and Jack Warner said, no, we're not going to give you more money. So he said, well, can I have sole screen credit? And they're like, yeah, well, how valuable is that? Sure.
Wow. But it made his name.
Absolutely.
Because everybody knew Mel Blanc. And he did what? Porky Pig, Yosemite Sam.
Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Tweety, Sylvester, Foghorn, Leghorn. Every major voice, with the exception of Elmer Fudd and the Roadrunner. He didn't do Granny.
Hmm.
But I'd say 95%+ were
and
his voices.
It's interesting. Even at five, you could tell that was the same guy doing all those
And what
voices.
A lot of people don't know is a lot of his voices were sped up electronically.
Oh, really?
Daffy Duck and Sylvester are pretty much the same voice. Different personalities, but pretty much the same voice. But Daffy is sped up.
Let me play. This is the recording that you made when you were 14.
The illegal recording.
The illegal recording. And remember how he did it, folks. He's got a phone on the kitchen table. So.
Yeah.
Into a recorder. But so I apologize in advance. But I think if you listen carefully and turn it up, you can hear what's going on here.
Hello.
Mr. Blanc?
Yes.
My name is Bob, and I'm interested in doing voices for cartoons.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could give me any advice on how to go about it and all.
Wait a minute. Now, you've called how many people? And
every
he says,
every blank
yes.
Every blank and blank in the book.
Mr.
Yeah.
Blanc? And he says, yes.
Wait.
Heart must have been.
Oh, earlier in the phone, he wasn't home. I got his wife.
Oh, so you knew you had the right number.
Oh, at that point, absolutely, because I called, is this a residence of Mr. Mel Blanc? Yes, it is. Can I speak with him, please? He's not home right now. When do you expect him? About 4:30. So I'm like, now, understand, it's about 10:30, okay? Every 5 minutes, I called back.
Oh, dear.
No, he's not there. Finally, is he there? Yeah, one moment. Mel, it's him.
I cannot believe that he's talking to you. This is a different time.
Yeah.
Let's hear
my number.
He says, how did you get my number?
Oh, yeah. There's a pause. How'd you get my number? Yeah.
That's a funny story. I used to live in Cincinnati, and I saw a show called Wonderama, and you mentioned your wife's name was Estelle.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking for your name in the phone book, and I saw Mrs. Estelle, and I just figured that was your wife.
Yeah. Tell me, have you created any voices?
This is amazing. Instead of saying, well, fine, kid, bye, Mel Blanc, who is legendary.
He was a legend, yeah.
Already. He's saying, well, tell me what you've done so far, Mr. 14-year-old Bob Bergen.
Yeah.
Do any impressions or impersonations?
Well, I've got one voice. It's a sound it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
I can't.
Let me tell you something. In the first place, every voice must be understandable to be in the cartoon.
Very important.
Because if they can't understand you, just like the only one that ever got away with it is Donald Duck.
Yeah.
The other character has to repeat what he says every time he says something. So that's not good.
Is that your mom in the kitchen?
Okay, so that's the dog because mom. I'm going to tell you what happened. You don't have to play anymore. I'll tell you what happened. Mom's coming back from the store, okay? I have signs all over the house. Don't hang up the phone in the kitchen. I'm talking to Mel Blanc. Okay? She comes home, and at the end of this, you hear, oh, my God, what is the phone doing here? She hangs up.
She hangs up.
She hangs up. She comes into the bedroom. I'm like, let me ask you another question, Mr. Blanc. So she runs back in the kitchen. She puts the phone back on, but she turned it the wrong way.
Oh.
So it wasn't on the mic. Okay,
oh.
but so I listened to this tape for 2 weeks solid, every day, all day long.
He gave you some very, very, very good advice. And it's not every voice must be intelligible.
Well, I also said, do you need an agent?
Yeah.
I mean, I
you asked a lot of important questions.
I asked a lot of important questions. Well, let me tell you what happened. I listened to the tape to the point where it broke. And I threw it away.
I'm amazed you have it,
though. Well, I threw it away, and my mom retrieved it and put it in her dresser drawer.
Good for mom.
And like 7-8 years ago, she was cleaning out her drawer, and she found the tape.
Oh, you must have been thrilled.
And I had it spliced back together and digitally enhanced, because
wow,
it was much worse than this. You know, you could barely hear it.
Wow. So the advice I was thinking of that he gave you was that you have to create your own...
Originality is key,
yeah,
to, and I mean, I wanted to play a classic character.
We all, when we're starting this out, we imitate.
Right.
You imitated Porky Pig.
Sure.
But he said you need to create your own,
mm-hmm,
characters.
Mm-hmm.
Not just voices, but characters,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. And, you know, what Mel Blanc, it's interesting, he was called the man of 1,000 voices. I think there are other voice talent in the past and the present who were better, more versatile than him.
Who's the Pillsbury Doughboy?
Oh, God. Originally, it was Paul Frees.
Is it Ernie? Paul Frees.
Paul Frees originally, yeah.
Paul Frees.
Who I think was one of the most...
Man of 1,000 voices, literally.
Literally, yes.
Because
and
he's the guy... Okay, you've heard Paul Frees. He's the voice in the haunted house. There are no windows
and
Toucan
no Sam.
Doors. And he does Toucan Sam. And he's the Pillsbury Doughboy.
And
that's
and,
one guy.
And if you ever watch any Rankin Bass holiday specials, Rudolph the Red-Nosed,
right,
Reindeer, he was a million of those voices.
So you're right. Mel Blanc did not have that kind of range.
But I think Mel Blanc was one of the best actors. Because the personality behind these characters.
Distinct.
So distinct.
And I think that was kind of the advice he was telling. That's what I read it as, is you got to create characters, not just unique voices, but you have to create characters.
A couple things he was trying to get through. One was that originality in character is key.
Yep.
He was also training his son to take over these characters.
His son did take over many of them, didn't
no, he?
No,
he didn't.
What?
No, he didn't. He tried
I thought he
to.
Did.
He tried to.
Oh.
He tried to. In fact, the first job I ever had was Tiny Toon Adventures.
Uh-huh.
He's done a few. And, you know, I mean, Dad wanted son
right
to take
follow
over.
My footsteps.
Exactly, exactly.
So are you the second Porky Pig? Was there somebody in between?
There have been a few of us.
Few.
I would say I'm the primary pig. I would say there are parks, like, you know, there are jobs that are non-union where they have to hire a non-union Porky Pig.
Right.
If there's a financial negotiation, sometimes they have. We all come back.
There's
at each
a non-union
other.
Porky Pig.
There can be.
Come on.
I can't do it non-union.
No.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Who would do a non-union? I'm surprised. Was it Warner Brothers owns this? I'm
Warner
surprised
Brothers
they would allow
this.
That.
Well, but they somebody licenses out the character.
I guess so. Huh?
Yeah.
So okay, that's a great thing. You talk to Mel Blanc, but it doesn't by any means get you your first gig.
In this conversation, it's not on the tape because it broke. He mentioned the name of the studio he was working at that week. He didn't say the day or the date, but he mentioned the name. So I called the studio, pretending
you didn't stalk him.
Yeah, a little bit. This much. I called pretending to be his assistant.
Oh no!
And I said, I'm calling to confirm Mel Blanc's appointment for Thursday at 9, and they said, well, we've got him on the books for Wednesday at 11.
Oh, of course.
That's right. I'm so sorry. I looked at the wrong day. So I told my mom, I'm skipping school Wednesday, and you're going to take me to watch Mel Blanc work. And she went, cool. So we go to the studio, and I told the receptionist that we were guests of Mr. Mel Blanc, and she said, he's in there. And when I walked into his booth, I told his producer that we were friends of the receptionist, and she said, have a seat. And it was honestly angelic. You know, the
oh,
dark
yeah
clouds parted. It was
oh,
sunshine.
Yeah.
I'm watching the legend
oh,
work.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just unbelievable.
There's a word
cool
for this, chutzpah.
Well, or cojones.
It depends on the culture
exactly
you come
yeah
from.
Yeah, there, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was just
you really. Amazing. It really feels like this was your, this is really truly a calling, a vocation.
For me it was, yeah. For me it was. And I just also, by watching him work, realized, I can't do this. He's still doing it.
Right.
So I called Hanna-Barbera. And I
You're 14.
Mm-hmm. And I said, how do I do this? And they referred me to a guy named Dawes Butler.
Oh, my God.
Dawes
Butler and June Foray were the great voices that started with Stan Freberg.
Absolutely. There you go.
And you know his voice. When you hear Dawes, you
Dawes
know.
Dawes was everything Mel Blanc wasn't. Dawes was Yogi Bear, right. Huckleberry Hound.
It was all the other ones.
Captain Crunch,
Elroy
Jepsen.
He was the Hanna-Barbera guy. Yeah. He was Captain Crunch, I didn't know.
Yeah. And I studied with Dawes. Dawes was my animation guru for a good 10 years.
Oh, he's
but
a legend.
I studied with everybody in L.A. that offered a voiceover class.
They must have seen in you then not only a kid with drive, but also some talent. They must have said, well, this guy's... Because you can waste a lot of time, as Mel Blanc did with his son, trying to force somebody who doesn't have it.
And, you know, the thing is, it's funny you said that. My very first voiceover class, we had I won't mention the name, but we had a guest teacher, a famous voiceover actor, and it gives me a very gritty movie trailer to read.
Yeah.
Which today my voice wouldn't be right for.
Right. You have a younger voice.
I've got
voice.
A younger voice, yeah. And he said to me with a very sweet smile, you just have no talent at this. And if you really don't want to disappoint your parents, medicine, law, accounting, anything. So I just...
Did you get dejected when you got...
Yeah, terribly. But I decided I'll let the whole industry tell me that in
not
time.
Just one not guy. Just,
first job I ever had.
Good man.
He was there.
Yeah.
And I walked out to him. I said, I don't know if you'll remember me, but 4 years ago, you told me I'd never work a day in this business. I'm playing two characters. How about you?
Wow.
And we're friends now, but it took a while.
No, but that's great. A lot of this is I think, an object lesson, not just for other people who are watching who want to do what you do, and good luck to you, but for anything, mm-hmm. anything that you have a calling to do, this is not uncommon. You will be told no more than once.
And I'm told no every day of my life. I read for 10, 20 things a day.
That's why I'm not an actor, by the way, as I could. There's no
rejection.
Way I could handle auditioning.
But you know what, Leo? Today's audition is an insurance policy for another one.
That's if you don't one book, way to think of
but
it.
If you don't, well, it is, because if you don't book the job, there's a lot of reasons why a talented
right.
audition doesn't get the job.
Sure.
Sometimes
you're just not right.
They went celebrity.
Right.
The copywriter's wife wants the job, right. whatever. But if they like you, they will remember you the next time they hear your name.
Right.
And I've had to re-audition for Porky Pig a million times.
Really? Re-audition?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm doing a show right now called The Looney Tunes Show.
Yeah?
After doing the pilot, they held auditions. Why? Because they could.
Yeah. So you go to a lot of auditions? I mean, how many auditions a week do you go to?
First of all, most of them are in my home studio. Which is nice.
That's changed a little bit.
You
can now do these over ISDN or record them and email them in.
Absolutely. All the auditions are emailed MP3s.
Yeah.
And
Well, that's better. At least you're not staring down the face of a
person. And I'm saving a lot on mileage.
Yeah.
And time.
Yeah.
I used to go to my agent's office to audition every single day. I was on the, you know, this side of the San Fernando Valley. They were in Beverly Hills. And it'd be an hour and a half there.
Right.
2 or 3 hours sitting there and an hour back. There's half my day.
Right.
So now I just wake up in the morning, I go to my booth, and I'm done reading by 8 o'clock in the morning.
We're talking to Bob Berglund. He is the voice of Porky Pig, but that's how I got to know him. But turns out that's the least of his credits. He's been in everything. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the other voices. Maybe you would know him best as Luke Skywalker. We'll talk about that
a lot more. Right.
On Triangulation. Bob Berglund is our guest. So you're Luke Skywalker? Where? In what context?
Well, they don't exist anymore, but the LucasArts games, you know, Disney absorbed.
Yeah.
All three Robot Chicken specials. That was Luke Skywalker.
So what does Luke Skywalker sound like?
Sounds like me, but there's two different Lukes.
I was going to say, you kind of sound like
there's
him.
There's two different Lukes. There's the pre-Jedi Luke, which is kind of the whiny.
Well,
yeah, I don't want to go there.
No.
And then he gets that Force thing, and he gets a little bit more centered.
Is it different doing game voices than doing, live action or television or whatever? Or
creatively, it's the same thing. The performance has to be believable.
Right.
And games are getting so sophisticated, they're very film-like in their delivery. You know, they don't want over-the-top performances. The difference is you must read every possible option for that scene. So, quick, go left! Quick, go right. Quick, go up.
Oh, boring.
And it can be tedious, and you have to, you have to think about the player hasn't played that yet, so it has to be as committed each time. So it's 4 hours of that, if they're nice
that's
directors,
that's hard work.
It is hard work, and a lot of
that's
screaming.
Hard work.
A lot of screaming,
and very specific. You have to be very specific each time you read it. Yeah, screaming. Yeah.
Oh well, it'll say the 2,000 foot death scream. Then it'll say the 1,500 foot death scream. And I'll say to the director, can you shave off 500 feet from that last scream and call it a day? And they're like, no, we need it. We need you to do it again. But a good director will save all that for the last part of the session.
They learn.
They do.
So you've done Pixar stuff and like Up, for instance.
Yeah.
It's my understanding, tell me how this works, that they'll have a script. You come in first, before the animation. Is that right?
Most of the time, you record the voices first. Unless it's
they're going to animate to the voice rather than you do the voice to the animation.
Correct, unless it's like anime, which is dubbed.
Right, and there's not much expression in the anime anyway, right?
That's actually because, you know, the line will be, and the lip flap does this, and the line will be, excuse me, can you tell me where the next 7-Eleven is? And you're like, in that? From that? Or then you'll see this,
right.
And the translation is, huh? So, Prelay or American Animation is all done first.
Right. And is it true for games as well?
Yes. Yeah, you record the voices first.
Interesting. So that's good in a way for you because there's nothing you creating it from whole cloth. There's nothing you have to.
I don't have to worry about,
sync. Right.
And staying within their time frame. And more often than not with a cartoon, especially episodic or, TV cartoons, you record a lot more than what they end up using because they have to edit it to 22 minutes.
Right.
We'll be right back with Bob Ergen and more triangulation in just a little bit. But I want to tell you about a brand new sponsor. We love it. Lynda.com. It really isn't new. If you know me or you've listened to anything I've done, I've been a friend and fan of Lynda Wyman since Tech TV, where she was writing books, how-to books on web design and stuff for years. We used to have her on all the time. And she created a site called Lynda.com back then, which has now become the definitive place for high-quality online courses and training videos. What's nice is it's a flat rate. So you subscribe to Lynda.com, you've got access to over 2,000 courses, new ones added all the time, in every category you could ever dream of. So it's great for your work. You know, you want to become an Excel wizard, so you get a promotion at work. They've got a lot of great Excel courses. For yourself, you're a photographer. Some of my favorite photographers like Ben Long and Derek Story do courses there. Photoshop. You want to learn web design? Of course, Dreamweaver, WordPress. They do QuickBooks. In fact, if you're a business person, they even have business skill stuff like resume creation and time management. They've got a great course on negotiation. I'd highly recommend. I'm right now, Lightroom 5 came out, and I'm trying to learn all the new features. Well, this is another nice thing about Lynda.com. They have, of course, they have the course with individual videos, very nicely produced. It's not like going to YouTube and you don't know what you're going to get. These are beautifully produced, really well done. In most cases, they have the files, like if you're doing Photoshop, the files, so you can work along with the exercises. But they also have transcripts. And the reason that's great is you can search the transcript. So with Lightroom 5, I know a lot about Lightroom. And so a lot of the stuff that's not new, I don't need that. But I can go to how do I use this new tool? I can jump right to that part of the video. That is very handy. For programming, and I've said this before, if you can come out of school knowing how to write apps, you've got the golden ticket, kid. They've got app development. They've got database programming, SQL. Almost all their instructors are pros working in the trade. Expert teachers, expert photographers. They really know what they're doing. These are the best. So what is the deal? Well, $25 a month, access to the entire library. Very frequently we'll have, we've been members since day one. And of course, very frequently we all have new editors come in. I say, okay, you're going to go do the Final Cut stuff. For $37.50 a month, you get the premium plan. That gets you the exercise files, the instructors, projects. So you can use the same assets. You get to set your pace. You get to learn what you want to learn when you learn it. Now, here's the deal. A 7-day free trial. All of this yours for a week. All you have to do is go to lynda.com/triangulation, and you've got access to the entire library free for 7 days. That's a good deal. Do it right now. Lynda.com, lynda.com/triangulation. They own LINDA, but I don't know if that /triangulation will work. So go to lynda.com/triangulation, and we thank them so much for supporting triangulation. I wonder if they have a cartoon voices. I don't think they do. More with Bob Bergen.
You've done live action stuff too.
Some, yeah.
Like the Santa Claus I see you were in.
But I was a voice.
You were voice of a Comet.
I was
Comet,
the voice of Comet, the reindeer.
One of the reindeer.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, have you dubbed live-action movies?
I have. If you look at the original, lots of them, but one that came in my mind was Total Recall.
Yeah.
There's a scene.
The original with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
The original.
You don't seem old enough to have done that.
Oh, God.
It was 1974 or something.
Not quite.
No?
Not quite,
almost.
No. There's a scene at the customs desk on Mars where a chubby lady is trying to he says, "Do you have anything to declare?" And her face splits open. And
right.
Oh, okay.
That's like one of the most famous scenes.
Well, watch it, because the customs guy was Austrian, and he said, "Do you have anything to declare?" And they thought it's going to give the joke away, because when the face splits, so it's my voice coming out of his face.
Oh, that's great. I own that movie. I'm going home to watch it.
But
tonight.
I can name just dozens of films. Where,
and they call that ADR.
Yes, which is automated dialogue replacement.
So there's a lot of that.
Tons. Every film has it.
Really?
TV shows like Little House on the Prairie, which was shot primarily outdoors.
Yeah.
Might be
so noisy and
windy.
Yeah,
well, it might be a wonderful like close-up of Michael Landon, but a plane flies by.
Right.
So instead of reshooting the scene, they'll just go into a stage and dub the episode.
So you don't just have to do cartoon voices. You have to do Michael Landon.
I'll probably get Michael Landon.
You have to make it sound like that actor.
But I've done Tom Cruise. I've done Quentin Tarantino. I've done Christian Slater. I've done Eric Stoltz. I did Eric Stoltz for films because he wouldn't go back and dub his own stuff.
Oh,
and I was like,
God,
bummer. I'm happy. I'm there.
Now, so what's the process if you have to learn how to sound like Eric Stoltz? Do you get a tape of him?
My knee jerk is I can't do that voice.
Right.
I can't do that character.
Right.
And then they'll have an audition. It's literally this scene. I'll give you an example. I did a movie called Basketball Diaries, but I did the TV version. So I dubbed Leo's voice,
okay,
DiCaprio, but only when he was stoned. And another actor dubbed him when he was
sober.
You're
the stone Leo.
I couldn't play him sober, and the other actor couldn't play him stoned. And Leo couldn't do either, because at the time his voice had changed too much.
His voice had changed.
Had changed too much, yeah.
Wow.
So
you're not only doing Leo, you're doing the pre-adolescent Leo.
But you also have...
Stoned.
You have to... Stoned, yes. I think jonesing in this particular scene. But you have to match sync.
Right.
And you have to match acting performance, and you might only be doing this part of a sentence.
Yeah.
You're dubbed. I was doing
That's
the
amazing
TV
that
version.
That can even work.
Well, technically, God bless them.
So what do? You look at the original performance?
I'm watching the film.
Okay.
I'm wearing headphones.
Yep.
And the technical process is there are three beeps.
Right.
And you talk on the fourth imaginary beep. So
right.
It's beep, 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 act.
Talk. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in the middle of the scene where he's having a crying fit, banging on the door, trying to get drug money from his mother. He's like, "Mom, would you open the door? Mom, would you please open the door? Mom, God damn it, blankety blank, yakety yak." So I come in on blankety blank. But I have to be...
Wait a minute, you don't even get the first few seconds?
I do. I listen to it.
But you have to match that.
I have to come
with
in.
Just one line.
I have to come in where they need to replace the dirty words.
Oh, my God.
So...
Oh, you're doing the TV version.
Got it. Exactly, exactly.
I've often wondered, because you'll be watching... And the guy said, "I'm going to beat the spit out of you." Mm-hmm. And that's somebody else doing spit.
It might be the real actor.
Sometimes
it might be
the
original
one.
Actor, but quite often
if
they're
they
just
get
not available.
Right. Yeah. So do you listen to this ahead of time before you go into the studio? How do you prepare a voice?
For the audition, they'll give us the scene that we're actually auditioning for, and you send in an audio audition.
I can't believe you have to audition to say spit.
I know. Well, I gotta say spit like the person that's
that. That's Tom Cruise saying spit.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes they'll have you go to the studio, you know, go to Sony, go to Fox, whatever, and it's audition to work. So they'll have five or six of us out there, and we each come in one at a time, and whoever gets the job gets to stay, and everybody else goes
home.
Oh,
my God.
Not showbiz.
Talk about a cattle call.
That's five. I wish it was still five.
Holy cow. So, so what are some of your favorite voices?
Oh, besides the pig?
Is your pig your favorite?
Pig's my favorite, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, he's fun. I like playing the character.
It's a character, isn't
it? It is a character.
You're not just making a sound. You have to be Porky Pig.
I have to act.
Be the pig.
I'm a method actor. I don't wear pants.
And what I like about Porky, the fun about the character,
when I'm doing the pig,
I think of the ad lib while I'm stuttering. And I only stutter as long as it takes me to think of the ad-lib.
You're ad-libbing the... So the gag with Porky is he can't say a
can't
word.
Can't get the word out,
So he says some other word.
Right.
Which is hysterical. I'm sure Mel Blanc invented that because it's very funny.
Mel Blanc, by the way, was not the original voice.
No.
A guy named, I think, George Doherty, I think was his name, who had a real stutter.
Oh, really?
And they recorded on film back then. And Jack Warner couldn't understand why they had so much
huge budget for film
stock.
He's stuttering.
And they also sped up the voice because they went too long.
Oh, my God.
So Jack Warner said, find somebody who can control the stutter. And they got Mel Blanc.
Wow. So you don't know what the ad-lib is? It's not in the script?
Sometimes the writers will put it in.
Yeah.
And then I will try to add my own bits
Play
of
with
humor.
It.
And they usually say, okay, give us one as written.
And then...
It goes through so many layers of approval before it gets to the recording stage. So you got to honor the writers.
So Porky's your favorite.
Porky's my favorite.
And I agree, he is a great character.
Of the Looney Tunes characters I've done...
I like Marvin the Martian. He's fun.
Oh, I love him. That's very good.
I'm going to blow up the Earth.
Yes.
I like Tweety the little birdie.
Yeah. Who's sped up 10%. That's why it doesn't quite sound like Tweety when
it sounds like a deep Tweety.
Well, he sounds like a Tweety who likes Marlboro.
Smoker.
Yeah. But see, Mel...
Bugs, and I do a lousy Bugs, but Bugs Bunny... And Tweety and the Chicken Hawk,
they're all kind of the same voice. Yeah.
The personalities are totally different, but they're kind of the same voice.
Yeah.
I do like playing Luke. I did a character, we talked about it, Bucky the Squirrel in The Emperor's New Groove, which was fun.
We were talking about that movie a couple of weeks ago on one of our shows, and we agreed, I think it was me and a film girl, agreed that this was the most underrated of the Disney animation movies. It's hysterical.
I agree. It was a
David
blast.
Spade is so good. Eartha Kitt
as
the bad girl. It's a Cruella de Vil type character. Yeah. And you did a squirrel?
I did a squirrel. Here's how I got that job. Fortunately for the animated features, I'm with a crew of actors and they just bring us in.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're not in isolation when you do movies like that?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Sometimes you do a line by itself. Sometimes you'll do it in dialogue.
You never do it. You never work with a scene partner. You do all your stuff by yourself.
Really?
At least in my experience,
Really?
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is hard. And you rely on the director to remember the intent of your scene partner.
Right.
And if you're the first person,
tough.
It is hard. You know, it's you have nothing to react to.
Right.
But for this film, I went to Disney. And they said, you're going to be playing a squirrel. And I said, tell me about the squirrel. And they said, well, the squirrel doesn't speak English. But your scene partner's name, his name is Kronk, played by Patrick Warburton.
Oh, Patrick Warburton is amazing.
Who's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he speaks squirrel. So he translates what you're saying.
Yeah.
I said, I saw the script and I said, he's saying squeak, squeak, and squeak, squeak. Do you want me to say squeak, squeak, and squeak, squeak? And I said, no, that's what he says to translate. I said, okay, well... Give me a few minutes. So can I go outside and think about this? I went outside, and Disney looks like a giant park. Park benches, beautiful grass. I'm sitting at the park bench.
Let's just play a little.
These are my best.
That's Eartha Kitt.
That's Eartha Kitt.
I hate this jungle.
She's so good in this.
Oh, look. A golden-throated smallwing warbler. Just one more
That's
for exotic
Patrick
birds.
That's Patrick.
I am loving
and
this.
And here comes the squirrel. What a good movie this was.
Great. Here it is.
Good for them? Go away from me!
Yeah, tell me about it. No. It's not you. She's not the easiest person to get close to. There's a wall there. Trust me.
Are you talking to that squirrel?
I was a junior chipmunk, and I had to be versed in all the woodland creatures.
So you didn't have the privilege
Never
of
met either of them.
Sitting with Patrick Warburton and Eartha Kitt.
Never met either of them.
Oh.
I went outside, and I'm sitting there, what should the squirrel sound like? And I swear to you this is true. A little squirrel walked down a tree, got up on its hind legs, looked at me, and went, I'm a little I went, thank you.
You gave
thank
me the voice.
You. I walked into the producer, and I went, he went, okay.
That sounds squirrely to me.
Okay, and there you have it.
Wow. Oh, that's great.
And I met Patrick once in the parking lot after one of the TV episode recording sessions. I passed him. I said, we've never met, but I play Bucky the Squirrel.
Yeah.
And he goes,
Oh, I thought Bucky was a sound effect.
He had no idea.
And I went, it's in the credits,
it's a
dude.
Human.
Yeah. Read the credits. It's alphabetical. Look
for
you
B. You do a very good Patrick Warburton. If anybody ever needs a little ADR for...
There you go.
We're talking to Bob Bergen, voiceover artist. His class at Voice Tracks. But you do many. It's too late probably for this one. But you do these frequently.
Yeah, I just got to contact Voice Tracks for this. But I've been teaching in L.A. forever.
Okay.
I teach around the country. I do weekend classes.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about those classes in just a bit on
sure.
triangulation. We're talking with Bob Bergen, voiceover artist, the voice of Porky Pig, Luke Skywalker, the squirrel.
That's where Bucky.
Bucky the squirrel, and many, 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 many others. How competitive is this? When you go to audition, I mean, there are lots of other guys out there doing this?
It's the most competitive aspect of show business, voiceover.
More than acting.
Yeah, well, yeah. For every one person pursuing on camera, there are five pursuing voiceover. And it's gotten more competitive because... Hi, puppy. It's a puppy. Hi, puppy. Did I do that right? Do I get a call back?
He's wagging his tail.
Do I get a call back?
He thinks you're pretty good. I don't know if he thinks you're real. But
actually, I think we're engaged now.
I think who knows what you just said?
Yeah, it's uber competitive.
Yeah.
And technology has made it more competitive because people living anywhere...
Anybody thinks they can do this, too.
Well,
it's one of those things where, oh, I can do that.
And then they realize, oh, you have to act.
Yeah, making the production of The Voice, and I think that's what Mel Blanc was really telling you. The production of The Voice isn't the whole deal.
Yeah.
You're acting.
You're acting. When Mel Blanc would do the classic, you know, duck season, rabbit season, he would record all of Bugs Bunny and then all of Daffy Duck, and they would edit it together. Today,
talk about tough acting.
Well, and for episodic cartoons, you just do the script in chronological order.
Right.
So you have to talk to yourself.
Even worse.
You have to have a two-way conversation with yourself. And it's not just the voices.
Oh, that's interesting. So you don't do one voice all the way through and then the other voice. You do one voice, the other voice. One voice.
Correct.
Oh, my
God. And you have to play the intent. So let's say you're doing a scene where, hey, you got this old guy, you know, kind of sleeping. And his wife comes running in. He's like... She's like, wake him, the house is on fire!
Completely different intent.
Totally different intent.
I love how you did that. I mean, you really change, and you have to be able to change on a dime. Not just the voice, but the whole thing.
And the golden rule I teach is if you physically play the character, the voice will follow.
Physical is important.
Facial.
You may physical. Think, oh, nobody's seeing me. I'm behind a microphone.
And if you go to a recording session, I'll try to bring my students in L.A. to a recording session, and we'll stand outside, you know, where the engineer is, and I'll ask them at one point, turn the mics off so we can't hear them, and let's watch everybody do this thing. And you watch people, they look like their character. When Lucy Taylor does Huey, Dewey, and Louie, she stands like this, and I'm like, why do you do that? And she says, well, they got webbed feet. And I went, those aren't feet. She says, they are when I'm doing it. You know, so
no
she does this.
Kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
She's doing webbed feet with her fingers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When I do Porky and I'm at the mic, am I still in the picture? Randy?
Yeah. Give him a close-up.
Okay. So when I'm at the mic, I will. They'll come up and mic me to get levels, but I will sit in character. Because if I sit like this, like my mom taught me to.
Just like we're having a trouble on this screen because
sat
up.
Yeah.
And now your head's cut off.
Exactly. So
you have to be
I'm
perfect.
A hunter. So if I'm like this, and they'll bring the mic to me.
You physicalize.
Yeah.
Laurence Olivier said that. He said costuming and makeup is really important to him because the physicalization of the character helps him create the character.
I've known, I'm friends with Lily Tomlin.
Oh.
And Lily Tomlin.
Talk about the woman who does many
characters. And she likes to wear, she makes her own wigs.
Yeah, interesting.
And she said it's the wigs, it's the shoes.
Yeah.
And I'm a voice guy. It's the mic and the pencil, you know?
Right.
So I...
You make your own mics?
I do not make my own mics. If I did, I don't think I'd do this. And my name would be Neumann. I from head to toe, get into character.
Yeah.
You know, it's as if you're doing it on stage, but you got to technically staying on mic. That's the hard part.
But the actors have the same problem with hitting their mark.
Sure.
And it's so hard to really be a good, especially a film actor, because you have to be in that spot, that's light, everything. And act.
And
you have to do the same thing with the mic.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've got to use your body.
Yeah.
You got to physically play the character.
But you can't get off mic.
But you got to stay right there on mic.
You and you got to start over.
And the mic is the ear of your scene partner.
So
you imagine, you know, if it's an
intimate... That's a good way to work it. Yeah.
If it's an intimate scene...
I'm talking right to
exactly.
you.
Yeah. And working the mic is, I think, half the performance.
Interesting.
Especially in the audition.
We're getting the class right now, folks.
Indeed.
Very interesting. Yeah. How many people do you think, though, can take a class like this? I mean, now you can Don't tell your students this. And break into this business. It's got to be tough.
It is tough. But how many people can break into ballet? How many people can break into opera?
You got to study.
But you got to try.
You got to try.
Exactly.
And do you, can you tell when you first talk to somebody if they've got it? I mean, what are you looking for?
First 5-10 seconds at the mic, I can tell if they've got the it factor. Yeah.
That fast?
Sure. Yeah. Because talent is talent. Right. It may be raw talent, but I can tell if they've got the it factor, if they've got the natural talent, and then I see if they can take direction.
I think we should have a new show called America's Got Porky.
America's Got Porky?
Because that's kind of the same thing with these, you know, X Factor, mm-hmm. The Voice, America's Got Talent. You get the feeling immediately whether somebody's got
you
it or
bet.
Not. And especially these pros who are the judges. They know. Yeah. They can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's exciting when you see that. But 26 years of teaching, I can count on a little more than two hands the numbers of, that's the it factor.
That's the honest.
Yeah. And I've never told somebody don't pursue it because lousy actors get lucky breaks every day. And who am I to keep that from them? But I might say to somebody, look, you're not demo ready yet. Yeah. I mean, I studied voiceover for 4 solid years. I did 2 years.
Before you started working?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Before I made a demo. I did 2 years at an acting conservatory. I did 3 years of improv. So I wanted to be prepared.
Interesting. And when you studied acting, you studied traditional acting.
Absolutely. Meisner technique. Yeah.
Meisner, yeah.
Yeah.
Sanford Meisner.
Yeah.
So, interesting. So it is an acting job.
It's 100%
a very
acting.
Difficult acting job because you don't have somebody to act to. You're
in
a strange character.
If
you're a squirrel.
If you're doing commercial voiceover, if you're doing a promo.
It's still acting.
It's acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the script is the skeleton. Your job is to give it a body.
Right.
And the words still have to be believable to the audience.
Right.
So if you're just, doing, member FDIC. it can't sound like you're reading it.
Yeah, and it especially can't sound like you're trying to get something by.
Exactly. And they said do it in 1.5 seconds. That was 1.7.
That's the worst part. Yeah. So you do that kind of stuff too?
Oh, absolutely.
Commercial. Does that pay better than the cartoon stuff? I mean, is that the stuff?
Yeah, it can.
It can. Because of residuals and
You
get a national and it's going to run for a long time.
But for those of us who work at this level, we can't survive on session fees. It's all about residuals. So every time a movie is purchased or rented or, even, just on demand, you get paid.
And that's pre-negotiated. That's part of the union scale.
Correct.
So they say you're going to get this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
You probably don't work for scale anymore, though.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Scale's not bad.
Scale's not bad. And it's better than doing laundry that day.
Yes, it is.
But
every time I do live with Kelly...
That's right.
It's like $898.43.
That's
There's
it.
A scale payment.
There is a minimum scale payment.
Yeah.
It depends on the job. Sometimes you're happy to work for scale. If it's a movie, if most of the animated features, even the celebrities, often get scale.
Yeah.
Because it's cool. It's fun. They've got kids.
Oh, it's great.
And the residuals are lovely. And if you go to a park in Anaheim and you get to walk your family, your kids, your friends by a talking thing that's you,
that's neat.
Really cool.
So you're some of the talking things at parks in Anaheim?
I have.
I always wanted to be, I have to say, the Paul Frees bit, there are no windows and no doors. You want to be the voice of the haunted house.
And my buddy Corey Burton has taken over.
Has he?
For him, yeah. I can't. We were in your last show. You were talking about you had to sign an NDA or something.
Yeah.
I did a job and I can't talk about it, but I signed an NDA.
So they'll do that if it's a big theme park in Anaheim. They will say you are going to do this voice, but you can never tell anybody you are that.
Not
voice.
Necessarily. It depends on the
Sometimes.
Job. Lots of games will do that even before you even audition.
Because you would break the fourth wall or something?
Just don't want anybody to know that they're doing this game or the next
incarnation
of this game,
sure.
That sort of thing.
Oh, I understand that.
But for movies and cartoons...
If Disney were to bring back the Star Wars games and you were to do a Luke Skywalker, they're not going to let you tell anybody, hey, guess what, we're doing the next...
I have to be honest. I treat every job as if I signed an NDA.
You probably should.
Because
That's sensible.
And I tell my students... Don't confuse PR and bragging. They're two different things. You can promote something. Next week, I'm on Family Guy. That's great. But don't, I just recorded this really cool episode of Family Guy, and wait till you see Stewie. He has a sex change. Gave away the writers, the
and
producers.
It's a small world.
Mm-hmm. And because of that machine you got right there, it hits billions of people in one click.
Yeah. Boy, I know that story.
Yeah. See, I
brag a lot.
Well, when I go to fan conventions, I have to censor myself.
Oh, are you going to go to Comic-Con?
I am indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
So, do you do a session? What do you do at Comic-Con?
There's two voice actor sessions. One on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Well, that'd be
fun. And I'm doing Sundays.
So, like, a bunch of people?
Yeah, they think Maurice LaMarche is on my panel.
Who's that? I don't know.
Oh, Maurice LaMarche is the brain from Pinky and the Brain.
Oh.
He's on Futurama. He's Yosemite Sam for us at Warner Brothers. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant guy.
That's
nice guy.
Yosemite Sam's a tough voice.
Wouldn't even audition for it.
He wouldn't. He said,
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
No.
There's a lot of...
It just hurts. It causes pain.
It's a painful
voice. I can do it for two or three sentences, and that's
And then you start coughing, and it's over. The
and then they'll say, okay, your next character is Porky, and I'm like, either thee, that's all.
So you have to consider that stuff, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a game audition, and there's... If there's a gun or they're wearing fatigues, I'm not going to read for it.
Because it's going to be a lot of grunting. And
it's a lot of grunting, a lot of yelling, and games don't pay residuals.
Games don't pay residuals?
No.
Boy, that's a shame.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it? You know, a little franchise like Star Wars, and I've never received a residual because they don't pay residuals.
That's because you think about these games, and they go forever. They make hundreds of millions. They're as big as movies now.
Oh, look at the trades. If you look at Variety and Hollywood Reporter, they've got the grosses for the games, and they're doing better than the movies.
They're doing better in many cases, yeah. So TV cartoon shows, have you done Family Guy? Anything
I
like
that? I did one Family Guy. Yeah.
That's my favorite. I love
I never
Family
saw
Guy.
The one I did.
But you know, Seth does so many. I've seen YouTube videos of him
doing the voices.
Doing his voices.
Yeah.
He's really an amazing fellow.
Brilliant. Son of a. Yeah.
It's annoying because he's also the writer and the creator, and he shouldn't be doing the voices, too. That's taking money out of your mouth.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember when. My community of actors get really pissed at that. The celebrities and the producers that do it.
Yeah.
But. Darn it, if they're really good.
He's talented.
He's brilliant. Brad Bird in The Incredibles.
Very good.
Phenomenal.
Very good.
You know, then they deserve the job.
Yeah.
But if it's, I'm producing and I'm writing the check, therefore I'm doing the voice, and
it
stinks.
No, that's not good.
Not so good.
Yeah. That happens. I'm seeing a picture of you with June Foray. That must have been pretty cool.
Here's how I met June. I went to an ASIFA, which is an animation society. They did they were doing a cell show. They were selling animation cells, but they were doing a live reading of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Everybody, he's going to swear.
I'm going to swear. They were doing a live performance of Rocky and Bullwinkle with June Foray, Dawes Butler, Bill Scott, and Hans Conried.
She was Rocky.
She was Rocky and Natasha.
And Natasha, of course. And Dawes was Bullwinkle.
And Dawes was, yes. And Dawes, no, Dawes was, no. Bill Scott was Bullwinkle.
Bill Scott was Bullwinkle.
And
right.
Dawes was everything else.
Yeah.
So when I got
Boris
to.
Boris Badenoff and everybody else.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was Paul Frees.
Boris Paul Frees was Boris Badenoff?
There you go. Yeah. Versatile. Another check.
Just amazing.
I got to the audience early, and I had a little tape recorder with me because I went everywhere with a tape recorder, and I saw a tiny person on her hands and knees frantically looking for something, and I said, do you need help?
She is tiny.
And she said, yes, I do. I lost my favorite little gold pin that my late husband gave me.
Oh, no.
That said, oh, sh-.
The pin said, oh, sh-.
It said, oh, sh-. And I said, can I help you look for your sh-? And she said, sure. And I got on my hands and knees, and I said, my name is Bob. And she said, nice to meet you, Bob. I'm June Foray.
You didn't know ahead of time?
No idea. And again,
I would have fallen over.
And this was right after my call to Mel Blanc.
You were 14?
I was 14, yeah. And I'm on my hands and knees thinking, I'm ass to ass with Rocky the Flying Squirrel. How cool is this?
Did you ever find the pin?
And we did not find the pin, but she and I became really good friends. And
No kidding.
She was with me.
So you and Dawes and June Foray.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And June was at my first Porky Pig session. My first job, I was doing Tweety. She was doing Granny. I was doing Porky. And
she does a wonderful grant. Let me play some voices of June Foray. This is all on YouTube. You can find all this stuff. Somebody's edited this all together, which is kind of... handy. When you hear somebody like this, this is Granny.
This is brilliant.
You just really realize what an actor.
Take my eyes off you for a second. Let me warn you, for absolutely the last time, if there's one little feather, just one little feather harmed of this bird, I'm going to sell you to the violin string factory. Really?
But I hear June Foray in that voice, big time. She had a certain cadence
She did. But if you hear her real voice, it's...
She doesn't talk like that?
No.
There was a certain... Oh,
you know what she did that was brilliant?
Here she is as Nell.
Dudley. Dudley, fancy meeting you here. I always knew you were a big spender, and there's just so many things in town I want to buy.
But Nell, this money is for...
Me? Oh, do right.
A lot of cartoon voices have that.
So it's a very common thing. You know why?
Why?
They're easy to mimic.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. So if you're going to make up a character, don't do that.
You know what? Here's what you do.
You start right there because that's what you've learned to imitate.
Right.
And then you look at the specs.
Yes.
The character.
Yes.
And it says, Southern. So he is a Southern kind of character. So make him,
there
and,
you go.
And then you see.
There you go, my pile.
And then you see in the picture is that he smokes because it's Adult Swim, so he can smoke.
Right.
And you just squeeze the back of your throat a little bit so he's got a little brown from the smoke.
Now you're Scatman Crothers.
Exactly, yeah. And then you look at the picture, he's got buck
or
teeth.
Maybe.
Give him some buck teeth like this.
So you just keep layering the character.
You're building a person, a real person.
A living, breathing person.
It's comic. But it's still, it has to be a real person.
It has
person.
To be organic.
And they always say that in acting class. If you go for the comedy,
Try to be funny, you'll never be funny. Yeah.
You can't cry for the audience. You can't laugh for the audience. You can only be that character.
We did an episode of the Looney Tunes show where Daffy walked in on Porky taking a bath. Lots of nudity this season on the Looney Tunes show for some
reason. Shocking. Well, it's a nude duck.
And
deal.
Exactly. and Porky, Daffy hugs Porky and he's like, how do you feel? And Porky goes, I'm comfortable.
That's great.
And as you're reading the script, it didn't have uncomfortable with a question mark. But I, as an actor, it's like I'm comfortable.
Perfect.
Yeah. But those are the choices that you make
you
as an actor.
You have to make a choice. Yeah.
Got to make a choice.
And you have to be that character. You can't be I'm a joke guy. You're Porky, and he's uncomfortable.
One of the times I had to audition for Porky, which I think was for Space Jam, which I did get.
Well, that was a great movie, Michael Jordan.
Thank
yeah.
you. But they for the audition, they had us do Shakespeare.
As Porky Pig?
Or Bugs Bunny or Daffy, whatever you were reading for.
What would that sound like?
Oh, the opposite.
You got the job. You're hired, kid.
But here's what they figured. They figured anybody can come in and say, that's all, folks. I taught a putty tail.
They know how to do
that.
But if you can do Shakespeare.
And make the story the star rather than the voice.
I think that's brilliant, actually.
I thought it was great.
It's a great idea for an audition.
For Looney Tunes Back in Action, I auditioned as Porky and Tweety. But for Tweety, they wanted us to come in with a contemporary monologue.
Yeah.
So I asked my agent, can I have fun with this? And he said, sure. So I had Tweety do the vagina monologues. And
I'd hire you.
Very serious.
I'd hire you so fast.
Very serious at the audition. I went, what are you so worried about that vagina? And when it was all over, the director goes, okay, first of all, this tape goes nowhere. And second of all, thank you for coming.
Eve Ensler, you got to send it to her. She would love it.
I asked her for permission.
Oh, my God.
I didn't ask for permission for the audition, but I do that bit in my one-man show.
But, you know,
show.
They bring... Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a one-man show?
I
Tell
do.
Me about that. I want to see it. Where is it?
Well, it's not playing right now.
Damn.
Go to YouTube. My name, you can get the trailer.
There's Oh, good. Okay.
Bob Bergen. So here's the deal. The story of a nice Jewish boy who wanted to be Porky Pig.
Awesome.
And it's autobiographical.
Do you think you'll bring it back?
Probably. I did it... Last in L.A. about four
I'd
years
love
ago,
to
I guess,
see
five
that.
Years
and
ago.
And you probably just do a lot of voices in it and tell your story.
I tell people this story that I'm telling you. It's literally how I grew up.
It's a great story.
Pissing off my parents and teachers and getting this job.
We'll have more with Bob Bergen in just a little bit on Triangulation, but I'd like to tell you a little bit about something you maybe have heard of. Royalty-free imagery from Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million. Actually, I love going to Shutterstock because every time I do... it's more images. Let me just pull it up here. Shutterstock.com. They're adding, you know, on the average of 10,000 new images a day. But, you know, they've been overachieving lately. So right now, 29,272,019 royalty-free stock images. This week, they've added 172,994 images. I don't know. Do the math. It's more than 10,000 a day. That's amazing. What do you get? Well, Shutterstock, first of all, you got to create a free account. You don't need a credit card to do that. All you need to do is put the email address in and create the account. Then you can use their search engine. Let me sign in using my account real quickly, and I'll use the search engine here. And I think that's the password. Yeah. Okay. So you can use a search engine to find all sorts of things. So, for instance, I'm going to search for hippos, and you'll find a lot of hippopotami. But now what you can do is you can add an adjective. So it's not just a noun search. You could say angry hippos. Well, not angry hippos. You're not going to find anything. Angry, Leo. There's an angry hippo. Happy hippos. Let's see if we have happy hippos. There are probably not as many. Yes, there's a happy-go-lucky hippo. You can also narrow it down using the amazing spectrum tool, which lets you pick a color palette. So if you're looking to match a palette for a web page or so forth, you can do that. It's great if you store your images in the light box because you can look at them later for inspiration or share them with your colleagues. And that all is with a free account. But eventually you're going to want to buy some images. They've got great packages where you can buy images in a block, as little as two images, as many as 25, or subscribe and save. And I highly recommend you do that. We've got for a business, it's great. We've got the 25 image a day subscription. And, you know, that means in our blogs, in our editing, all this stuff. They also have fabulous video footage, over a million videos, tons of them in every subject, very high quality, using professional videographers. I mean, these guys just really do a great job. Shutterstock.com. And, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. There's vector graphics. There's projects, you know, After Effects projects and so forth. You've seen us use some of the kitty cats and doggies with our green screen. They have mats, all sorts of stuff. Shutterstock.com. Sign up for your free account today. When you decide to buy, we'll get you 25% off your first purchase, but you have to use our special offer code, will you? Triangulation 1013. That's for October 2013, obviously. All one word, Triangulation 1013 at Shutterstock.com. Well, let's get back to our interview with the great Bob Bergen.
So if life had gone differently, what would be your second choice? I mean, obviously, this is really where you were driven to be, but what would your second choice have been?
It's interesting. I think psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I think psychologist.
Well, you have to be a psychologist to be a good actor. You have to understand how people think and get yourself into somebody's mind.
Yeah, you have to understand character and people and the human condition.
Right.
Even though you're playing a pig, you have to understand the human condition.
The pig is a human. That's really the secret of all of these things. These are humans.
I like to think so,
yeah.
Yes.
These are humans and you can get away with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just were on Wreck-It Ralph.
I was.
What a fun movie that was.
What a fun movie
that
was, yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're doing all sorts of stuff. How often do you work? I mean,
depends on the week.
Will you work every day?
No.
No.
I audition every day.
You audition every day?
I audition every day.
But that's the nice thing is in your home studio.
Yep.
Tell me about that. What did you do for a voice booth?
I have an acoustic system, really solid booth that I bought from my friend Randy Thomas.
It's done, and you just put it in a room,
yeah.
And you go in this booth,
mm-hmm.
Close the door,
and you know we were just talking about this before we started because I like your setup at the desk with the mic.
Yeah, but the acoustics are terrible.
Exactly, but no. I would love the freedom of being able to do that.
Right.
But I'm at home in that little booth. It's 4x4. It's tiny.
It's pretty small.
It's a small little isolation booth.
Is it got soundproofing all inside?
It has soundproofing, and it's interesting. It's got a window here and a window here.
Yeah.
And I had it put in the corner of my office. I've got very high ceilings and a wall of windows. And I had the shutters opened when the booth was put in so light would come through so I could have some kind of feeling of it's out. There's an outdoors.
Is it bigger on the inside than it is on the outside?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is it painted blue?
It's painted green. It's painted green to match my office.
Awesome. And what kind of mics do you use? Norman's?
No. You know what I use? A buddy of mine, Pat Fraley, gave me this mic. I have a Sennheiser 416, but I don't like the way my voice sounds like it. It sounds, for me, too tinny.
They're really... different voices should use different mics.
I like the Neumann U87 the best.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It's a classic mic. I don't even know the... You may know the name of this. They don't make them anymore. He called it the Chinese Neumann.
Huh.
And it was $150
like a
bucks.
Cheap Neumann, yeah.
But it had the same technology inside.
Right.
Well, Neumann sued, I heard, and they stopped making it.
Yeah.
But my voice sounds like a U87 on
That's
it.
Awesome.
It's a great, great, great mic.
You know, I mean, we do a radio show in there, and nobody's ever complained that it sounds noisy.
What mic do you use?
Well, I use Heil PR40, which is a fairly inexpensive $350 mic, very directional, it's dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's good for my it's very good
it's
for
great
my voice.
For your voice.
It's made for my voice.
It sounds like it's made for radio. It is. Yeah.
He's going after kind of the RE20 and the 27, mm-hmm. those Electro Voice. You see him in every radio studio. The long dynamic mics, and I think he's actually made a better mic than that.
It's and the thing is, people pursuing voiceover today, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars. If you can buy a great mic for under $250,
right. At least for your demo.
Well, no, for your demo, you got to have it professionally done.
Oh, interesting.
I'm saying for auditions.
For auditions.
Most people travel with a $99 snowball.
No.
I swear to you.
But that's only for auditions. You would never use that for the final.
Some people do. I wouldn't.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't, personally.
So why does your demo have to be done by a pro?
Because your demo has to sound better or as good as the people working today. And you're sending your demo to the agents that represent the working actors. Why would they take you on when they've already got these people?
You
got
to sound better.
Well, you're
so they sweeten it? They EQ it? They do stuff
to it? They produce. If it's a commercial demo, they have to produce many spots.
Just like it's a commercial.
Absolutely. And you need a producer whose work sounds like today's commercials.
Right.
Or today's cartoons.
So you're going to spend a lot of money on your demo.
Average price of a demo is about $2,500.
Okay.
I've got 9, 10, 12 demos.
You know,
I've got...
You don't do them yourself now at this point?
I do now.
Yeah.
I just cut in work.
Right.
You know, and it's easy to do.
Because you have real work.
There you go.
The hard one is when you haven't worked yet.
And that's what that's the expensive demo.
Right.
Because you have to sound like you've worked.
Right. And you have to have an agent.
At my level, you have to have an agent because the agents get the auditions. You know, you don't have to have an agent when you're starting out, but if you want to...
There's not like a magazine, the voice actor's guide that you look in the back and you say, oh, there's a demo.
No. There's an audition today. No. It's not like you get the breakdowns, you know, for on camera where it says they're auditioning.
Right.
Sometimes there might be a few voiceover auditions.
You need an agent.
The agent gets the notices. Based on the notices, they cast it from their clients, from the actors they represent, and they send you the audition copy.
Right. Somebody wanted to know, you did the baby voice. Tell me again, chat room. You did the baby voice in which? They wanted to know about that character.
The baby voice in... Which baby voice? I do a lot of baby voices?
Yeah. Because the squirrel's kind of a baby voice.
Well, if you have a baby on the set and the director says action, the baby doesn't. So it's a baby.
Oh, you mean do real baby voices. Saved by the Bell. Did you do the baby voice in Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, I did, Bert. That's amazing. Okay. How you know this. Bert will be a comic. This is what I get. And the
people
memories.
Are really huge on this stuff.
I love these people. I love these people. This is great. And you know what? The thing is that it tests me. I did an episode of Saved by the Bell where the actors had to carry around dolls.
Oh, those fake babies. Yeah.
So they had me stand. And it's a timing thing for the actors on stage.
Right. So you have to do that in real time as they're acting.
Yeah, so the baby's supposed to cry in a certain cue.
Yeah.
I did a...
You're off stage
crying.
I'm
off stage. And... Yeah. It beats working for a living.
I don't know why, but... do you have trouble when they ask you to do something serious?
No.
Because you make me laugh. Every time you do one of these voices,
I laugh. I won't do that when they ask me for something serious. But no. I enjoy getting into a serious, solid character probably as much as I do the wacky zany.
You probably don't have that much opportunity to do it, right? I mean, that's...
No, I do.
Have you done, like, real acting, like, on stage or anything? Have you gotten a chance to act?
I've done acting. I did sitcoms back in the 80s. I did every 80s Facts of Life, Give Me a Break.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I hosted a game show a few years ago. I did the kids' version of Jeopardy called Jep.
Jep?
Yeah. That was on
You were the host?
I was the host, yeah.
And here's do you like that better than doing the voiceover?
It was harder.
Yeah, it's real work.
I had to shave. I hate that. but here's how I got that job. I auditioned for it, got lots of callbacks, got to the screen test. And for the screen test, they had me host an episode of Jeopardy on the set of Jeopardy.
As Alex Trebek?
Well, at his podium, but on that set. And one of the categories was famous cartoon characters.
Oh.
So for each clue...
You did the voice.
He lives in Jellystone Park, and he's smarter than the average bear. So for each clue, I did the voice.
Oh, that's great.
And then when it was all over, the producer came up to me and said, you were really good. Have you ever thought of voiceover?
Have you ever considered?
And they didn't know.
Oh, that's so
Because
funny.
In this business, the left hand has no idea what the right hand is doing. So I said, that's my day job.
Yeah, I might have done a few voices in my time.
Yeah.
Bob, it's so great to see you. I was really thrilled when you just... by chance, wandered into
the
studio.
Hood.
You were in the hood.
Yeah.
And I'm just thrilled to see you again and get some time to talk.
This was fun.
So inspiring and so much fun and so funny. If people want to know more, bobbergen.com.
That'll do it.
You have a very active Facebook page.
I talk to everybody.
That's nice.
In fact, you know what? And I'm going to say this now, and I may regret
it. You're
going
to regret it. I can tell right now.
I don't care. I don't care. If you're interested in animation, if you're interested in voiceover, pop me an email. You got a demo. I will listen. I will critique it. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I may not get back in the next 20 minutes, but I will absolutely get back.
You know what you're doing? You're paying it forward because Mel Blanc did that for you.
Well, Mel Blanc did it for me. Casey Kasem did it for me. And I asked each of them, why are you doing this? And they said, both of them, because you must promise me you'll do the same.
Yeah. And you know what? And it's true in my career. Somebody told me that, and somebody probably did that for them.
Of course.
That's how it works.
Absolutely.
So you worked with Casey, too, huh?
Casey got me my first agent.
Really?
And if you, on my website, you can listen to my... I sent Casey 85 voices on a cassette, sent it to him. He gave it to his agent. His agent called me up and said, I'd like
from
to represent
historic
you.
Pantages Theater
That's
in Hollywood,
the
California.
Homepage.
Actually, I've never had those before.
Go to Cool Club.
This is a demo, right?
It's a mini...
Yeah, mini demo on the front page. Let's see. Well, look at all this stuff. By the way, if you are at all interested, go to Bob's website. I love it that you put all this stuff on.
I kept everything. I'm like a voiceover hoarder.
You know, when you get into this stuff, I can see how much you love it. But when you get into it, it really is great. And I don't know. There's something about audio. You just hear it, and it's very rich.
You know. You make when I'm teaching, oftentimes when an actor's at the mic, I'm like,
close
this.
Your eyes, yeah.
And I'm like, guys, I'm not sleeping on you. If I can see the character in my head just by hearing the voice, your acting is organic. Your acting is real. It's working for me.
Can you? You must have an ear, right? I mean, there's like in a language ear where you can learn languages. You must have an ear for what something sounds like and be able to reproduce. You hear it. And
you have to have a certain ear.
Yeah.
You have to also be able to. I mean, a director's job is to translate what the producer wants or what the writer wants.
Right.
And you also have to be able to translate what they're translating.
Yeah, and that's hard.
You know, sometimes they'll be like, okay, I need you to do it again, but in this scene, instead of this, do this. And they realize, okay, they just want it faster.
I once, you know, Francis Ford Coppola used to, I think he probably still does, before he made a movie, he'd make a animatic of the movie with voiceover actors and animation.
Okay.
And somehow, I don't know how, I got to do one with him. So we went over to the Zoetrope building in San Francisco, went to the basement, a bunch of other actors, and we're doing a character. And the worst director ever. Mm-hmm. The most cryptic, I could not, and I basically lost the job to Father Guido Sarducci.
Yeah.
Because he would say things like, do it like Bob Woodward. I have no idea what that even means. I know Bob Woodward
absolutely.
Is, but what, I don't know what that means in the context of this character, but that was the direction. I remember that one.
Woodward doesn't have pardon me,
it's not
Bob,
a voice.
But it's not a distinct voice.
I don't even know what he meant.
Yeah.
So I understand. That's a hard thing. A director is not necessarily a good communicator, but they have something in their mind, and your job is to put that on.
I'm lucky because the people directing animation today, Andrea Romano, Susan Liu.
We're in a wonderful era.
We are.
Renaissance.
There's, you know, when I got in the business, there was Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
And Disney might have released an animated feature every 5 to 7 years. Today, there are entire networks devoted to cartoons. Games. Every studio has a thriving animation department. There have never been this many opportunities to work in this business as today.
Yeah. Here's Casey Well, this is the demo.
This is the homemade demo I sent to Casey.
Homemade demo that you sent when you were 18 years old.
No, this one I was about... Yeah, I was 18. Yeah, I was 18, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is embarrassing.
Great Scott, Holmes. How did you solve that mystery?
I hear garbage.
Yep, that's right. My name's Goofy. Yeah.
Sorry, Bill.
Ooh, me like 'em, rabbit.
But you're showing some technical mastery.
Yeah, but
Casey
I'm
obviously
a real
heard something.
Cowboy, but I'm only 3 feet tall, so I gotta talk loud.
There's Yosemite Sam.
Ooh, since
I was 18.
You're a lot better now. But there was something there, obviously, or Casey Kasem wouldn't have handed it on.
And you know what? Today you can't even make this kind of a, they call it like a garage demo.
Nobody listens.
They want it slick. They want you to be representation ready when you make that demo.
Because it's very competitive.
Yeah.
There may be a lot of work, but there are a lot of people want to.
Well, an agent gets 50 to 100 demos a month.
Wow.
And they can't take everybody.
Wow. Bob, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming back and spending some time
with us. My pleasure.
Really fun.
This was fun.
BobBergen.com. And if you think you can do this, try.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think everybody should try.
Try. Not me. Thank you for joining us. We do Triangulation normally every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2300 UTC on twit.tv. I'd love it if you'd stop by. We love having a live audience, but if you can't, on-demand audio and video version is always available after the fact at twit.tv/TRI. This show, as you noticed, was recorded in July for airing while I'm on vacation in September or October. But we'll be back live after October 8th when I get back, and lots more great guests. Thanks to Karsten Bonney, our producer. Thanks to you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Triangulation. We'll